Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. So page 64. The gopis are in the perfectional stage of meditation. Yogis are generally more fond of meditating than of executing devotional service to the Lord, but they do not know that the perfection of the yoga sista is the attainment of devotion. This constant meditation on Krishna by the gopis is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita to be the topmost yoga. Krishna knew very well the psychology of women. When a woman's beloved is away, she thinks of him more in meditation than when he is present before her. Krishna wanted to teach through the behavior of the gopis that one who is constantly entranced, like the gopis, surely attains his lotus feet. Right, so this absorption is the actual position that one's trying to attain. That absorption, because that's where actually the happiness is when one is absorbed in Krishna. Right? So being with Krishna, then that will be very great. But then by that meditation, they'll be absorbed in Krishna. That will then even deepen their appreciation of when they're with Krishna. Does that make sense? Because it's a whole difference in how the mentality works. If one's always around, let us say, as a regular feature, that the whole weekend is free, right? So husband and wife can be together. But let's say Monday through Friday, he goes to work, he'll only be there, you know, go out in the morning, come back in the evening. So now, on those weekdays, then coming back in the evening or in the morning, there'll be, you know, a certain X amount of time that the interaction will be, you know, very focused. And the rest of the time, it'll just be one is in the environment. You know, one is there. Now, let us say we have the whole weekend, or one is together the whole day. The amazing thing is the amount of time that's focused and actually interactive will be exactly the same as it is on the weekday. That's just the way it works. You know what I'm saying?
That's good. That's good.
Yes, I'm just saying, means it's understood on this side, but this side, then that was like you've just destroyed their whole concept of, you know, perfection. Like that. So, Krishna understanding this, because we want it to go in a certain way, because we want to be the controller and enjoyer. But for Krishna, he is the controller and enjoyer. So he's made it this way. So for him, it's fun. For us, it's not, right? Does that make sense? So for him, being tied up by Mother Jashoda is fun because he is the controller. For us, it's not fun because then it proves we're not the controller. Does this make sense? Yeah. So therefore, then Krishna understand. Then by not being there, then they'll actually think of Krishna more than the time when he is with them. Does that make sense? That's just how it works. Here, of course, the mundane aspect, it's about oneself like that, but in the spiritual world, then it's about Krishna, so it's already perfect, but by that separation becomes even more perfect. So then when they come back together again, then it will be at a higher level. Does that make sense? In other words, the experience of being together is at a level of perfection, but because of separation and the meditation that's there, it pushes the level of appreciation when there is that union to a higher level. Does that make sense? So in other words, you experience sambhogas at one level, vipralamba pushes it to a higher level. right? Because it goes higher. Then when you're together, it's at a higher level. So it's not that Viparlumba is the main thing. No. Sambhog's the main thing. But the point is that Viparlumba pushes the Sambhog to a higher level. Because the intensity of it is greater. Right? Yes.
We see practically with some devotees at least that this principle on our level it's not exactly working because in separation from, say, Vaishnava Sangha or Guru, people tend to be distracted, you know, to other things, and then it doesn't bring them to the next higher level, but it brings them down, and then they feel, you know, they feel disconnected, basically. So, why is this happening?
On this level, because there, then there's only one focus, it's only Krishna, right? But here in the material world, then it's like, you know, what was the response of Chitraketu's son when he called him son after he was brought back to life? Which one? You know what I'm saying? So that's why you have that aspect, is because you don't have that singular focus. It means there may be that intensity, and poets and that will write about it, and people will appreciate it for centuries. Like people still like, the Odyssey is the one coming back, right? Or the Iliad? Yeah, the Odyssey, because that's the more. In other words, Rupa Goswami says, quoting from Bharat Muni, I think that there's two main themes for a good drama or a good novel: chivalry and the conjugal, right, or romance, right? So then the Iliad is going. That's the chivalry, and then coming back, that's the romance. So then, does that make sense? Yeah, so then it all works. So, you know, it's still appreciated. Romeo and Juliet's very much appreciated. So anything that was, you know, really outstanding in that, then people remember that. Does that make sense? But otherwise, then, the thing is that's a generic principle. So that's what's appreciated. But the specific, then that's because in this life, it's only this lifetime that we're focusing on it. And so it's easier to get distracted. But like we see with the gopis, because Krishna is the perfectional point of meditation and the perfection of relationship, so being absorbed in him, you're actually absorbed in everything. Right? Because he is, you know, I mean, even on this planet, he's the universal form, so you connect with everything. So what we appreciate in the relationship is actually the element of the universal form. It's coming through a particular person. So we connect the two together, but actually it's Krishna that's the attractive feature. Does this make any sense? Yeah. So that's why you have that there. Plus then you have the element that the masculine will get distracted, won't think about it, but as soon as they get together, it'll continue from where it was. Like that. But the feminine doesn't work like that. The feminine is if that is constantly being nourished, then it works at that level. You know, like that. But if it's not, then it will drop down to zero. Zero meaning neutral. Means so it's good, you know, like that. Then when the connection comes back together, if you deal in the very nice way as on that level that you're at, it'll immediately bring that up to that level. But if you do something stupid, then it will push it into the negative. You understand? So so that's the thing. Krishna understands all these things very nicely, like that. And we tend not to. The main thing is why we tend not to is because we think we're the control and enjoyer. And how I think it should be is how it will be. You know, it's just like the modern culture, is that people think that something should work in this way. It should be like this, and so everybody agrees. Why? Because of the aspect of I'm the controller and enjoyer. So it sounds fabulous. But in reality, it's not there. Is that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. So because of that, so Krishna's not under any illusion. He knows who he is. And the gopis are not under any illusion. So therefore, everything works very, very perfectly. So they're in constant trance. And so that way, then, they'll always be absorbed in Krishna. They'll attain that perfectional position.
Another point I was thinking that you mentioned, it's not about time, it's about quality time.
Yes.
So we basically somehow rather trained in general sangha, in general association. But in terms of quality association, we can't handle much because of the intensity and the closeness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is not even offered in many places. So on that level, we're comfortable. But to go to the next level, like say Srila Prabhupada mentioned 24 hours, focused on, this is like very intense.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going there. We just keep, in our comfort zone. So how is that going to happen?
It's just a matter of time as we get purified, because it's only due to impurity that the comfort zone, we're not comfortable. Right? Because we're comfortable with other things. We can handle intensity in areas of our interest more than in other areas. So since for us, even though it's the oldest thing, it's technically the newest, this idea of working, for Krishna and all that, because we've never done it before. We've been in that environment, but we didn't take it that working for Krishna is the important element. So therefore we came here and we're working for ourselves. Right? But now it's that, so it's just time that one is able to appreciate. The main thing is it's about the relationship, not about what you're getting. As long as we're focusing on what I'll get from it, then you can't get much. Does that make sense? If you're focusing on what's appropriate, what you should do, what's the proper attitude, that's where benefit can be gained. Does that make sense? Because in relationship, it is about the quality of the interaction. It's not the technique. The technique is secondary. But the technique is important because it's the best technique for expressing that primary aspect. That's why the Shastra makes recommendations, is you should do these things or that, because they're the best medium for expressing the primary aspect. Right? So you can use that. It means it's the same. The principle is the same, whether it's on the Partiva Rasa, Swargiya Rasa, or Vaikuntha Rasa. Because rasa is the same. It's just a matter of the satisfaction that's there and the length and depth of it. So Partiva, as long as the sense and the sense object are in contact, you get the experience. But at the moment they separate contact, one loses that taste. Swargiya then can go on for longer, can go for some time, some time in this lifetime, a whole lifetime, even extend a few lifetimes. But the point is at some point it'll finish. Since we're here since time immemorial, even if you follow the Vedic thing, husband and wife are together for seven lifetimes, then still that's only seven lifetimes. What about, millions and billions of lifetimes that we've been there? So it's not actually a long time. Though the intensity is long and the poets will write about it. Right? And that. So but the Vaikuntha rasa, we're not used to that because that has that, it's not self-centered. It's centered on Krishna. And so the intensity is greater, but it's a greater intensity in pure goodness. We're used to intensity in passion and ignorance. So then the intensity in goodness and pure goodness, we're not really accustomed to that because it's a different flavor. It's different. So we don't really... we're not accustomed to that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of time. If we just continue the process, then slowly, gradually it will come. But if we're trying to make it happen, it doesn't happen. It's just when you're relaxed and dealing in the appropriate way, that's where things happen. It's like that with anything. If you're too tense, you're too that, you're too, then, because the tenseness is also an intensity, so then it drives away the other aspects. So. So it's just a matter of which intensity we're used to at the time, or due to our conditioning. Because generally we can do that for a while. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say we could sit down and read for half an hour and then that's it. The brain's, you know, going to explode. But we might find that we could be on Facebook for 2 or 3 hours and no problem. So it's just a matter of what we're used to. Right? But with time, when we don't have so much taste for those, let's say for the Facebook by hearing and chanting, then we'll see that our ability to spend more time reading increases. It's just a matter of where the taste is. Right? If you're eating bitter, you can't be appreciating sweet. You have to stop the one, start to do the other. So, yeah. Lord Chaitanya taught people in general the method of Viparlamba Seva, which is the method of rendering service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the feeling of separation. The six Goswamis also taught worship of Krishna and the feeling of the gopis in separation. The prayers composed by Srinivasacharya about the Goswamis explain these matters very clearly. Srinivasacharya said that the gopis, the Goswamis, were always absorbed in the ocean of transcendental feelings, in the mood of the gopis. When they lived in Vrindavan, they were searching for Krishna, crying, "Where are you, Krishna? Oh, gopis, where are you? Where are you, Srimati Radharani?" They never said, "We have now seen Radha and Krishna, therefore our mission is fulfilled." Their mission remained always unfulfilled. They never met Radha and Krishna. So this aspect, then, it creates a particular intensity. And that intensity is where it's nice. So anything that we do, that we want to do, that we like to do, unless that intensity is there, we will feel that it wasn't actually complete or fulfilling. So it's the intensity that's actually the nice part. So the whole point is that it's a matter of gaining that spiritual taste in intensity. And then in that position, then one can be absorbed in that way and appreciate. Then it works very, very nicely. Otherwise, you know, we will find our taste and intensity somewhere else. That's the whole point. Is that intensity will be strived for. It's just a matter of in connection with what. So it's not that, oh, there's no intensity. It's just a matter of we can only handle the intensity that we like. Right? Just like we can say, oh, there's too many people, it's too much, no, I got to be alone. And, okay, let us take, just for the example, let us take the queen bee at the high school, okay? And stick her alone somewhere. There's no one else, no phone, no nothing. She's just alone. How long will she last before she comes unraveled? You know, we're talking nanoseconds here. This is really critical. You know, she could end up in the ICU within, you know, a few minutes, right? Does that make sense? Because it's too intense. Right? And so then when she's in the middle of the whole scene, surrounded by all of her associates, and they can walk down the hall and criticize everyone and anything and everyone, then she's, like, comfortable. Even though that's very... But someone else, that's intense, being alone. Now, that's not... You understand? So it's not a matter of, oh, I can't handle intensity. It's a matter of everybody handles intensity. It's just a matter of where. Because unless you're getting a taste, it's not intense enough. That makes sense. Yes.
And then what about taste and mode of goodness?
Taste and mode of goodness, yes. No, the point is it's there. It has its intensity, but it just doesn't have the rough edges that passion and ignorance. We're just used to that. That's why it's nice, but we don't necessarily notice it. Does that make sense? We look for something a little bit more...
tangible?
Yeah, not tangible, just what we're used to. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, for us, if we eat things without onion and garlic, we'll find the subtleties and all that, and it's nice. But like, let's say, most of the time, the Karmis, if there's no onion and garlic, for them, there's no taste. And in fact, they don't have to put anything else as spicing into anything they eat except that. You know, it's like, you know, you're cooking, and then, you know, it smells nice there, but someone cooks with onion and garlic, everybody gets to smell it. You know? Like that. So it's much more intense So it's just a matter of, but it's an intense and an ignorant kind of way, passionate kind of way. Like, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of getting used to the subtlety. So here, pure goodness is the most subtle. That's why then these recommended systems are there. It means we can maintain our attachment to our mode of passion and ignorance processes of religion. That, you know, what we eat, what we do, how we wear, how we socially interact. You know, it's just like if you kind of come from that kind of artsy or bohemian kind of background. The whole thing is just about harassing each other about, you know, in an intellectual way, putting the other person down. And they greatly enjoy that. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not so refined and all that, then they just harass each other and just do stupid things to each other. Like that. But they just harass. And somehow or another, that's considered really nice. You know? But in the mode of goodness, you don't have to harass. You can just be pleasant. And it's like, you know, you know, it's like, wow. Is that? So it's just a matter of the modes coming up, like you see, like let's say in cooking, as we gave the example, then things that are funky, that'll be the mode of ignorance, you know, like that. So then a mode of passion means there's too much, the flavors are too strong, you know, except for sugar, but all the other five, you know, too salty, too bitter, too astringent, too pungent, too sour, like that. And so then that's the mode of passion. Goodness then means it's pleasant. Pleasant, it's not dry, it's not, you know, it's like that. It's unctuous, it's, you know, it's nice, it's slightly sweet, it's, you know, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of getting used to that kind of a thing. Because much of the time people can't handle that. You know, even people are totally, you know, health freaks. Actually, they, food in the mode of goodness, they wouldn't be able to handle. You know, you steam it or boil it and put, because you can't eat salt, you can't eat sugar, you can't eat anything with taste. So technically what they're attached to is food in the mode of ignorance. But it's fresh, you know, it's a combination. So it has that element of goodness that is fresh and it's made from nice ingredients, but that it has no taste, that's actually in the mode of ignorance. You know, and then others, they have to put so much achar and chili and this and that and so many things like that. So that'll be passion. So what we're talking about, at least in our lifestyle, is within goodness. Then it'll be goodness of goodness, you know, passion of goodness, or ignorance of goodness. Does that make sense? So it's not actually that good, because actually it's sattvic food. That means that's actually the thing that one should eat. So it's a particular style of cooking. Krishna mentions it in the Gita, like that. What is there? So that kind of cooking. So we're not used to that. You know what I'm saying? So we're either used to, okay, we can handle the unctuous aspect of it, but we'd rather have it fried or, you know, too much spice or this or that, you know, and then, oh, all this is bad for you. So you throw all that out, and then they replace passion with ignorance. They think that they're improving, but they're actually not. You know what I'm saying? So, because animals are in which mode? Ignorance. So, you know, therefore, what they eat should be in that category. Right? So even though, let's say, you know, cows and horses are eating grass, but does it have any taste? No. You know, so therefore, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's has that influence. So we're just not used to it. So it's just a matter of time. By the process, hearing, chanting, associating, then we become purified, then we find that we appreciate. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it just comes up and naturally then we will be appreciate and be able to function in that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just for example, to say is no, but why do you have to put all that stuff? What about if I put together a nice green leafy salad and put no oil on it, no olive oil, nothing. Just the raw leaves and that. You want to put some salt and pepper, yeah, that's up to you according to, you know, what you like. Would it be good? No one would like it, even the health food freak. So they'll put more olive oil on it than we would put ghee in the sabji. But the sabji is, oh no, you can't eat this, it's so rich, this, that, blah. You understand? So the point is you can't function without. Does that make sense?
And when we speak about intensity,
right,
for example, we take other Vaishnav Sampradaya, their intensity is also on a certain level, but if they only accept some bowl, it means they cannot handle or they don't want to handle.
They're not interested. It's not their taste. So that's why this is hot. Because basically, because this, the Vipra Lumba, what's the problem we have with Vipra Lumba? Is it the problem that it increases our absorption in Krishna? Is it our, that is more pleasing to Krishna? You know, is it that by, then when we're with Krishna, then even the experience will be even greater than previously when we're with Krishna? No. It's about that, that, Vipralamba means the anxiety, the suffering, and this and that, and we've been in the material world, and we've been suffering, you know, and we don't want to suffer anymore, therefore this Vipralamba doesn't look as good. So it's a mix of that I want to enjoy, so therefore there's some, you know, and I don't want to, you know, have any pain for the, from the gyan side. So then, if I don't want any pain, right, then what am I looking for, right? I want liberation. But as a Vaishnav, I'm not accepting Sayuja. But the other four are quite attractive. Does that make sense? So that's why, is that because you have to go beyond that. It's whatever pleases Krishna. Because if it pleases him, you'll be pleased. Then it's just taken in the completest form of surrender. The other one, it pleases Krishna, but you want to be pleased by pleasing Krishna. You understand? So that has that aspect of liberation to it. But it's still about Krishna, so it's nice, and Krishna appreciates the interaction, but it still doesn't have the same position as the gopis. Because we see it's when he's in Mathura, he only mentions his Ananda and Yashoda and the gopis. Because the other ones, by their absorption in him, are technically taken care of, because he is there in his form of this Bhava Sarup. So by meditating on him, they are tasting, and so then they are absorbed. Then they're happy. So they're actually taken care of by his, by that mood of him, of his Bhava. But for Nanda and Yashoda and the gopis, then they don't take that is actually directly Krishna. It is, but it isn't. Right? Because, in other words, it is Krishna's mind, Krishna's intelligence, Krishna's soul or heart. The Bhava aspect is that, it's just it doesn't have the physical aspect. So for the others, because they're absorbed, the cows, they think the physical aspect is there, as it mentions, because they're not so intelligent in that way. And for the cowherd boys, then they're satisfied, absorbed in that other aspect. But for Nanda and Yashoda and the gopis, then that aspect is there, so they're in ecstasy because of the three aspects of Atma, that Krishna is there. But the fourth aspect is the physical. They doubt he's there, that he is there. Now and again in their ecstasy, you have that story where Yashoda is saying, "My son's not here," and Nanda Baba is saying, "Why? What are you crying about? He's right here." You know, so he's, you know, just seeing him like that. So therefore, then their separation is more acute than the other one, than the other three rasas. So it's just a matter of getting used to that, because we're attached liberation. That's why then it doesn't appear to be so nice. You know, that's why karma and jnana have to be given up. We don't give up karma, then we do things for ourselves there. We don't give up liberation, we also do it for ourselves. It's just, it's the same principle, just two different fields. You know, it's like on a coin. One's looking one way, one's looking the other way, but it's still one coin.
You already said that Lord Chaitanya and the other Goswamis, you know, speaking of, they've come to teach us Vipralamba Seva. So as a sadhana bhaktas, you know, how should we practice this Vipralamba Seva?
Sadhana bhaktas, how do we practice Vipralamba Seva? Means we practice by trying to, you know, be absorbed in the sadhana and recommended activities. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because It's that absorption in Krishna, that being involved in the activities. In other words, we're practicing the secondary aspects of devotional service, right, in connection with the primary. So chanting and all that, this is all primary. But for us, what aspect of chanting are we absorbed in? Right? I start chanting, okay, after Mangalartik, after the announcements, you know, finally get over it, you like that and all that, and I start chanting. Now, what's my consideration?
Time.
That, you know, I want to get my rounds done before the Sringa Darshan. So therefore, I don't want to talk to anybody and this and that. It means if they're people. If it comes on my phone, no problem. But if it's people, forget it. Right? You understand? So we're dealing with the secondary, how we're chanting, the things, how we're doing, and how, you know, and everybody else is the Japa police for everybody else. You know, like that. You know, that's not part of chanting. You know, like this and that, and, you know, which way you go on your beads, you go frontwards, you go backwards, you start the big bead, you start the small bead, you know, what kind of counter beads you have, how you're dealing with your counter beads, what kind of bag did you put it on the floor. It means, you know, we can go on for a while. Right? So this is all the secondary aspect. In other words, the religion of chanting. The primary is that it's Krishna. We're just absorbed in Krishna. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that you can only feel separation from Krishna when you actually think being with Krishna is important. Yeah? Yeah. So therefore, it's not that it's a separate thing that we have to, you know, that we like to chant walking around the deities and, you know, like that, because then when we get around, then, you know, is Krishna around the corner, and then we'll go, is he here? No, he's not around that corner. Maybe he's around the next corner. Or, no, we don't do that kind of stuff. That's, yeah, that's not recommended. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
It sounds like Vipralamba, it's not at all possible to practice. It's not
No, it's not possible to practice.
Because we're trying to, you know, to come to Krishna.
Yeah.
But then Vipralamba, how is that possible?
But the point is it's an automatic thing. If you're absorbed in Krishna, then it comes with it. So, you know, it's just like on the material, if you have a material desire, then the difficulty that goes along with it is it comes at the same time. But it's because of your attachment to it. So when we have the attachment to Krishna, then that aspect of Vipralamba is also there. So it's not a separate thing. That's what we're saying. It's not a separate thing that you have to practice. It's just like, you know, let's say the 8-year-old girl, you know, what practice should she be doing for interaction with her husband? You know? You understand? No, she just has to practice the good qualities that are required and the various activities that are required in household life. The responsibility, the duties, you know, the proper mood and all that. And then all that will happen there. So as soon as she gets married, then all that goes along with it. So in the same way, when we become absorbed in Krishna, then all these things follow. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because we can see is that those gopis that were in their homes, they weren't absorbed on that level. So therefore, they didn't really feel that Vipralamba. Right? And so then when Krishna did call and they couldn't go, that's only when then they saw how much attached they are to Krishna. Then only they felt that separation. Right? So it's not something you can, it's not the aspect, because it's based on rag or attachment to Krishna. So rag's not a practice. Does that make sense? You can't practice rag. Right? Means even the karmis, have you ever heard a song that, and I'm going to practice loving you, like that? You know, I've been working so hard, you know, practicing, you know, loving you. No, it's not, you know, came in like a wrecking ball, yes, that one, but, you know, they don't talk about practice. It's either happening or not. Does that make sense? So, because attachment is attachment. So, we're not attached to Krishna because we're attached to so many other things. Right? So, we're either attached to karma and jnana, so we're not attached to Krishna. As we become purified, then we become attached to Krishna. you know, because we're above association. If we just perform the religious processes in detachment without devotional service, then we'll come up to the liberation. So it's still the same thing. It's whether it's karma. We can get rid of karma by moving to jnana. When we get bored with jnana, we'll go back to karma. So only bhakti, then, you're engaging the senses without attachment. You're getting the benefits of both in bhakti. So it comes to another. That's the only thing that can actually cross beyond. So it's as we absorb ourselves in Krishna, as we associate with those who, you know, have more absorption than we have. You know, it's just like in the morning when you chant, you sit down or that you with those who are sitting and nicely chanting, not the ones that are on their phone or just gossiping or stuff like that. Unless, of course, you want to gossip. You know, does that make sense? So it's all it is that we see is this is a goal. This Viparlamba is a goal. It's not a process. Right? For the gopis, it's just their existence because they've attained that position. But it's still their absorption in Krishna is still that what they're trying to do. Because it says here, their mission remains always unfulfilled. They never met Radha and Krishna. So that's the whole point. It always goes on. Does that make sense? And so then those in the pastimes, then it's still there. Because then that nourishes even the daily pastimes. Because everybody's with Krishna at some point and not with Krishna at some point. Does that make sense? So you always have that aspect of going back and forth. Yes.
Yes. Could you please connect this to Gop Kumar when he was going many stages? He had an intensity looking for Lord.
Right.
At the same time, he was unsatisfied.
Although well, that he hasn't attained the Lord.
Well, I had success, but then it's not success. But meeting and still unsatisfied.
Because he's meeting the Lord, but because he's a devotee of Krishna and Vrindavan, therefore all the other forms of Krishna, though it's Krishna, still the flavor of interaction is different, so it's not quite the same. Because of the mood that Krishna's in dealing with the devotees in that particular realm. So in Vaikuntha, he deals in that way how those devotees want to deal with him. But he's actually not from the Vaikuntha realm. He's from the Vrindavan realm. So the dealings will be different. So he'll deal in that way, but it won't bring about that satisfaction. But being with Krishna, because it is Krishna, then it's nice. But it's still nicer if you can interact in that mood in which he has. So,
yeah. Can you say that Viparlamba is the first step towards the final goal, which is Sambhog?
Viparlamba is the first step towards Sambhog, which is the final goal. And then once you get the Sambhog, then what?
Then again, Viparlamba and then Sambhog.
So then why put it into that context?
Because everybody aims at Sambhog.
Everybody aims at Sambhog. Why not aim at developing pure, unalloyed love and devotion to Krishna? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. So if you have love for Krishna, then these other things go along with it. You don't have love for Krishna, where's the question of Sambhog or Viparlamba? Right? Because every day we go and meet Krishna in the temple. So are we feeling that Sambhog, and then when we have to leave the temple and go home, then we feel that Viparlamba?
Sometimes.
Yeah. But the point is sometimes is that samadhi. No. So therefore, then we're looking for that platform of prema that is constant. That's why it said the gopis, their meditation is perfect. Constant meditation. So that something's there, that's nice. But we can't consider that, yes, so that it's that. Like you said, they never said, we have now seen Radha and Krishna. Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur adds, this verse raises as a proof of Krishna's personal presence when some gopis were locked in their houses by their husbands on the night of the Rasa dance. Quote, some gopis did not attain the Rasa dance with me. As I engaged in amusements, Kridata Maya, on the night of the Rasa Leela in Vrindavan. Why was that? Because they remained in Braja, being kept forcibly in their houses by their husbands. Though they wanted to die because their desires were not fulfilled, and they experienced great pain and separation from me. They attained auspiciousness, Kalyanyaha, that is, they remained alive. By thinking of the Rasa dance and other pastimes of mine, they attained me. It's always amazing how much volume is required to. Okay. Situated in their houses in Braja, they were with me because I personally appeared in their houses. After that, on other nights, they were also able to attend the Rasa dance on the bank of the Jamuna. So, Krishna was there because they're meditating upon him there with Krishna. That's the whole point. But still, it gives the flavor of separation, but he's with them. That's the whole point. Is that separation doesn't mean you're not with Krishna. It means you're with Krishna, but the mood is that of separation because you don't have the physical aspect of being with them. Right? As you mentioned, you have the mind, the intelligence, and the soul. You have that aspect, but it doesn't have the physical. So the difference between the two is sambhog means the physical is there, and viparlamba means it's not. But the other three are always there. Does that make sense? Because otherwise we try to make that sambhog's nothing. I mean, sambhog's everything's there, viparlamba's nothing there. No, it's all there. Just the difference between the two is the physical or not. So that means he was with them. So in that way, then they're absorbed in him. So even if physically he is there, but they're thinking that it's, you know, they're not there. So whatever, this is, yeah. Verses 38 to 32. The gopis inquire about Krishna. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, the women of Braja are pleased to hear this message from their dearmost Krishna. His words having revived their memory, they addressed Uddhava as follows. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Krishna reminded the gopis that at the time of the Rasa dance, those gopis who could not join him for the Rasa Leela gave up their bodies simply by thinking of him. Absorption in Krishna consciousness by feeling separation is thus the quickest method for attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna. By the personal statement of Krishna, the gopis were convinced about the strength of feelings of separation. They were actually experiencing the supernatural method of Krishna worship, and were relieved by understanding that Krishna was not far away from them, but was always with them. Footnote 20. Those gopis who were subject to the subject of the previous verse and were restrained by their husbands now speak to Uddhava in this verse. It is true, we were with Krishna was enjoying on that night. When they heard Uddhava, they remembered their own experiences, which were proof of his words. They became satisfied with Uddhava and began to speak to him politely. Right? Because before this, they weren't dealing necessarily so nicely. So, they felt his presence while even though he was at the Rasa dance, they felt the presence. So now they're saying, yes, just like that, we can be with Krishna, even though Krishna's not here. Does that make sense? According to Sridhar Swami, each of these verses is spoken by a different gopi. The gopi said, it is very good that Kamsa, the enemy and persecutor of the Yadus, has now been killed, along with his followers. And it is also very good that Lord Achyuta is living happily in the company of his well-wishing friends and relatives, whose every desire is now fulfilled. Gentle Uddhava is the elder brother of Gada, now bestowing on the city women the pleasure that actually belongs to us. We suppose those ladies worship him with generous glances full of affectionate, shy smiles. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks, Different gopis speak these verses, but there is a connection between them, since they are of the same mind. They ask about his happiness out of intense prema. They display hatred for the women of Mathura, thinking of them as competitors. On remembering the Mathura women, after having a spurti of his pastimes with the gopis, Gada was the first son of Devar Shita, a wife of Vasudeva. He was younger than Krishna. The gopis had heard that Krishna had great affection for him as a younger brother. This hints at a slackening of his attraction for Gokula, a slackening of affection for the gopis, and an increased affection for the women of Mathura, right? Because they referred to Krishna as the elder brother of Gada.
Yeah. Gadagraja is his name.
Sorry?
Krishna's name is Gadagraja.
Gadagraja. So, because they're referring to him like that, then it would mean that they're seeing that he's switched his mood, that he's more absorbed over there than he is with Vrindavan. The gopis continue. Sri Krishna is expert in all kinds of conjugal affairs and is the darling of the city women. How can he not be entangled, now that he's constantly adored by their enchanting words and gestures? O saintly one, does Govinda ever remember us during his conversations with the city women? Does he ever mention us village girls as he freely talks with them? Footnote 21. Dear sir, certainly we deserve to be rejected. Therefore we were abandoned by him. But we ask you, though we are the lowest in this world, does he sometimes think of us women that he has rejected after enjoying, whether it is our good points or bad points? Does he remember us uncouth women, Adi Dagdha, in casual talks, in singing, joking, writing poetry, in making riddles? O women of Mathura, the women of my village know very little of the songs you sing. They do not know anything about us because they are from the village. Does he mention us even in this way? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. Does he recall those nights in the Vrindavan forest, lovely with lotus, jasmine, and the bright moon, as we glorify his charming pastimes? He enjoyed with us, his beloved girlfriends, in the circle of the Rasa dance, which resounded with the music of ankle bells. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Uddhava said, O dear gopis, what is the use of criticizing Krishna and the women of Mathura with crooked words? Why don't you instead speak about other people's good qualities? By our misfortune, Krishna may forget us, but how can he forget the place where he lived? In this way, some gopis speak while crying. He enjoyed with his dear gopis in the Rasa arena in pleasant Vrindavan, which resounded with the sounds of ankle bells, whose river banks were filled with the white splendor of lotus, jasmine, and moonlight. His attractive conversations were praised by the heavenly women riding in their airplanes. Do the vile women of Mathura know any such conversations with him? Where is there such a river bank in Mathura? Where else is the music, song, and dance so pleasing to Krishna? Who in Mathura knows how to make the crowns, anjans, garlands, and betel nut preparations? By remaining in Mathura, Krishna's happiness has completely disappeared. We will die just thinking of his lack of bliss, right? So here's being brought out that their unhappiness is actually due to their thinking that Krishna is not actually getting any happiness, right? Because the women of Mathura won't know how to do these activities like the gopis do in Vrindavan, you know, which is true, because they'll work on the Vaikuntha level, while here they're working on the Braj level. So what they're doing in all these activities, they won't have this. So they're thinking that Krishna will therefore not be as happy. And because he's not happy, that makes them unhappy. So that's the real problem. So that's why they don't like them, because they see them as competitors, but they see that they're not doing such a good job. Therefore, Krishna can't be happy. Therefore, that causes their unhappiness. Does that make sense? If there were some woman in Mathura like us who could please him, then we could enjoy with her dancing. playing the flute and other pastimes. Then he could enjoy with her dancing, playing the flute and other pastimes. If we heard that such a woman existed, then we could remain in Vrindavan happily, even though separate from him. This is the implication of their words. Right? So it's about Krishna's happiness. That's what makes the position of the gopis. That's unique. Because even if they thought there were some women in Mathura who could please them the way the gopis were pleasing, then they could be happy there and just in that separation be there. But they're thinking, he's not happy in Mathura. That's the real problem. Yeah. The gopis continued. Right? So that's where you, in other words, catch that point, then all the other points will follow. Right? So makes sense. So it's about Krishna, 100%. That's the meaning of the aslishava parada tampi nashnumam adarshanan marma atam karotuva. That's the meaning there. Is that if it makes Krishna happy that we're together, or makes him happy that we're not together, as long as he's happy, we're happy. Right? So that's the difference, is that in Vaikuntha, their happiness is because they're happy. Their connection with Krishna, and Krishna being happy with that, you know, Krishna's happy, but they're happy because of being with Krishna. Well, the gopis, then, they're happy if Krishna's happy, whether they're with Krishna or not. So even though they have all the elements of liberation, they're not the important thing. It's not important that they're on the same planet, have the same form, have the same opulences, right? Or that they're a close associate. That's not what's important. What's important to them is Krishna's pleasure. That's what's actually. So that's what we aspire, is that we could have that kind of love for Krishna. And so it's just a desire. It's just something that we would like to have. There's no practice for it. I mean, if you want to practice, you practice having the desire to have the desire. That you can do. The gopis continued. Will the descendant of Dasarha return here and by the touch of his limbs bring back to life those who are now burning with the grief he himself has caused? Will he save us in that way, just as Lord Indra brings the forest back to life with his water-bearing clouds? But why should Krishna come here after winning a kingdom, killing his enemies and marrying the daughters of kings? He is satisfied there, surrounded by all his friends and well-wishers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Hearing this, one obstinate gopi of the Vamya nature spoke. O friends, foolish women, do you not know that all what happiness Krishna gets during the rasa dance? Hear from me what type of happiness he likes. When she speaks this verse with crooked words, why will he come to Vraja? Here, herding the cows is full of difficulty. There in Mathura, he has obtained a kingdom. Here, he can enjoy with cowherd women. And there he can enjoy with so many women. Here he is cowherd, there he is king. At some time, he will get married. So they're just pointing out, is that they're saying, oh no, but if he, you know, if he was happy, someone's there. What are you worried about? You know, he's happier than you. That's what he likes to do. He's a king now. Here he's just a cowherd. But he has all facilities there. You know, here what does he have? So it's just a mood of just, you know, throwing the whole thing out. Like that, because the absorption is so great. Does that make some sense? Yes.
So we see the mood changes rapidly.
But these are different gopis.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's different gopis. So before, that was the first one was the gopis that couldn't go. So they were the sadhana siddhas, right? And then you have, you know, another group is saying something. And then here, that sounds like it's more like the right wing. And then here's the left wings are speaking. Like that. So they all have different flavors. Like that. The gopis continued. The great soul Krishna is the Lord of the goddess of fortune. And he automatically achieves whatever he desires. How can we forest dwellers or any other women fulfill his purpose when he is already fulfilled within himself? Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. Yet, even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. Footnote 22. Story of Pingala is narrated in the 11th canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 47 to Bhagavad-gita, chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakura's book. So here, just that taste of Krishna in separation, and then they're appreciating this, right? And then they're connecting it to, just so you can become free from all material unhappiness by renouncing all desire. And so then they're giving the example of Pingala, because that's what she did. And she then came to the transcendental platform. But we see is that even though they are trying to renounce all these desires, they can't renounce the desire for absorption in Krishna, to be with Krishna. So that's their position. They're on the topmost platform. That's why they're beyond the yogis, because the yogis are meditating on the Lord, but they want to give up all desires. While the gopis, even though they say they want to give up all desires, they can't.
So we can see even a difference in the taste. Within the general gopi group, was there different groups, you know, subgroups within that big group? So they experience their own taste of the group.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's why we're very specific. That we're Rupa Nugas. So we're following that group. Does that make sense? Like that. Who can bear to give up intimate talks with Lord Uttamashloka? Although he shows no interest in her, Goddess Shri never moves from her place on his chest. Dear Uddhava, Prabhu, when Krishna was here in the company of Sankarsana, he enjoyed all these rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute sounds. All these remind us constantly of Nanda's son. Indeed, because we see Krishna's footprints, which are marked with divine symbols, we can never forget him. O Uddhava, how can we forget him when our hearts have been stolen away by the charming way he walks, his generous smile and playful glances, and his honey-like words? O Master of the Goddess of Fortune, O Master of Braja, O Destroyer of all suffering, Govinda, please lift your Gokul out of the ocean of distress in which it is drowning. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks, our grief has not dissipated from your instruction. Not paying attention to Uddhava, the gopis stood up, faced Mathura, and began calling their beloved in loud voices. In misery, while weeping, they spoke. They prayed for protection of Gokula, ignoring their own suffering, being unable to tolerate the suffering of Gokula on remembering his affection for the place. Right, so he's there and discussing and all that, and then they just turn towards Mathura and start calling Krishna and remembering like that. So that last part was there. Verses 53 to 69. Because whatever he says, it's only going to remind them of him. Right? What technique has he used? Krishna's in everything, so everything can remind you. But the point is that reminding of him then reminds them of Krishna, the person. Right? Because his idea is if you use these elements of knowledge, that it will reduce that aspect of prema. Yes? And we do see that in Vaikuntha, that's how it works. That in Dwarka, there's so much prema within the parental ras, the example that we last saw. Then, when his greatness is seen, then it reduces that, and then they see him as the Supreme Lord. So then, that aspect of separation, because if you're seeing in the mood of Shanta, there's no separation. They don't feel separation. Or if you drop it down even to these lower levels, then they don't experience, it means it's there, but it can be pacified. With the Shanta Bhaktas, they never feel separation, because they see Krishna in everything. Right? Does that make sense? Whatever they're seeing, they see it as Krishna. And because they're in a mood of appreciation, then wherever they can appreciate Krishna, then they're satisfied. Because that's their mood. That's their rasa. Right? But with the gopis, then we'll use from the Upanishadic verse, Prabhupada gives the example of the tree and its roots. The tree is situated in one place, but its roots extend everywhere in all directions. Right? So, let's say some roots are sticking up out of the ground somewhere. What do you identify it with? The tree. You understand? You see some leaves on the ground. You identify it with the tree. There's some fruit, the tree. Flowers, the tree. You understand? So that's what happens in Vrindavan, especially specifically the gopis. Is that, yes, you can remind of Krishna in any of these aspects, all these different aspects of the roots and all that, but it will only remind them of the tree. So that's why their position is so much greater than anybody else's, because even though they know about his position as the Supreme Lord, in other words, how is the Supreme Lord? He's everywhere through his energies, he's pervading everything, he's controlling everything. It only adds to their remembering him as a person. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect that's there. So it won't work on them. For the Dwarkavasis, it will. So he is giving topmost remedy for Dwarkavasis if they're feeling that separation. Right? And for Nanda and Yashoda, that they came and talked about him and they heard some word that he's doing okay and all that, then on one side it pacifies, but on another it won't. You know? But for the gopis, it won't pacify because they don't see any difference in these things. It is all Krishna. That's the point. Is it's because of their attachment to Krishna, that rag, then it doesn't have that intellectual aspect doesn't come up. In Dwarka, then the intellectual aspect comes up. Because you know, that's the meaning of the Vaikuntha, that has that intellectual aspect. And so because of that, then it will reduce that emotional aspect, and so then they'll be able to deal with it. But for the gopis, their attachment to Krishna is so perfect that everything just spontaneously reminds them of Krishna, the person. Even though it may be an intellectual aspect, it just bypasses the intelligence there. They don't have to take it through the stages. It just immediately reminds them of Krishna, the person. So that's the uniqueness of the gopis. Is all this stuff, you know, that it doesn't matter. So they don't have any problem studying technical shastra because it just reminds them of Krishna and Vrindavan. So those who say, oh, we can't read this, we can only read these nice things about Krishna and that, this other stuff, this has no taste, then that's someone actually who doesn't have any taste at all. This is not advanced. You know, that they appreciate something connected to Krishna, that's good. That's nice. They should go on, but someday then they'll mature and appreciate that everything's connected to Krishna. Therefore, there's no problem. That's why you see is that the Goswamis don't have any difficulty relating things to the Upanishads to establish their authority. Right? The Vedanta Sutra for those who accept Vedanta. But for those who don't, then back to the Upanishads. They don't have any problem. Most others you don't see necessarily doing that. But they have no problem with it. Because there is nothing that's not connected to Krishna. Nothing that doesn't remind them of Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes.
So the Shanta is actually seeing Krishna everywhere?
Yeah, they're seeing everywhere, but they're
reminded of him. So therefore, he's satisfied with
Gopi's not. Means they see it as Krishna, but because it's about the jnana and they don't have a sense of possession, therefore they're satisfied. But the gopis, because of their sense of possession, that's why then for them, then even seeing Krishna and everything won't give that satisfaction. For the Shanta Bhakta, it will, because there's no sense of possession. Right, because it's not like that, you know, Krishna's theirs in any way. For the Shanta Bhakti, he's just appreciating Krishna and his greatness. You know, greatness, sweetness, whatever it is. Okay, verses 53 to 69. Uddhava returns to Mathura. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna's messages having relieved their fever of separation, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava, recognizing him as non-different from their Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, Uddhava minutely studied the transcendental abnormal condition of the gopis in their separation from Krishna, and he thought it wise to repeat again and again all the pastimes they had enjoyed with them. Materialistic persons are always burning in a blazing fire of material miseries. The gopis were burning in a transcendental blazing fire due to separation from Krishna. The blazing fire exasperating the gopis, however, is different from the fire of the material world. The gopis constantly wanted the association of Krishna, whereas materialistic persons constantly want the advantage of material comforts. It is stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Krishna saved the cowherd boys from the blazing fire within a second while their eyes were closed. Similarly, Uddhava advised the gopis that they could be saved from the fire of separation by closing their eyes and meditating on the activities of Krishna from the very beginning of their association with him. From the outside, the gopis could visualize all the pastimes of Krishna by hearing the descriptions of Uddhava, and from within they could remember those pastimes. From the instructions of Uddhava, the gopis could understand that Krishna was not separate from them. As they were constantly thinking of Krishna, Krishna was also thinking of them constantly in Mathura. So that's the point, is that if he's always thinking of them and they're always thinking of him, and like that, then all the other things that go on then aren't a problem. Mm-hmm. Like that. Still there's the aspect of separation, but then there's the appreciation that Krishna is always also, he's feeling separation from them. Uddhava practically acted as the preceptor, spiritual master of the gopis, and in return they worship him as they would worship Krishna. It is recommended in authoritative scriptures that the spiritual master be worshipped on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of being his very confidential servitor. And it is accepted by great authorities that the spiritual master is the external manifestation of Krishna. The gopis were relieved from the transcendental burning condition by realizing that Krishna was with them. Internally, they remembered his association within their hearts, and externally, Uddhava helped them associate with Krishna by his conclusive instructions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the scriptures as Adhoksija, which indicates that he is beyond the perception of all material senses. Although beyond the material senses, he is present in everyone's heart. At the same time, he is present everywhere by his all-pervasive feature of Brahman. One can realize all three transcendental features of the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, the localized Supersoul, and the all-pervasive Brahman, simply by studying the condition of the gopis in their meeting with Uddhava, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, yeah. So we can understand all these three features, how they're always absorbed, they're always thinking of Krishna. So Uddhava tried all these, he mentioned all those things, and he mentioned the messages. Now he just describes the pastimes of the Lord. And by doing that, then they remember Krishna by hearing from there, and they remember within themselves how they did. And in this way, then they are feeling something, feeling better. Right? It is said by Srinivasacharya that the six Goswamis were always merged in thoughts of the activities of the gopis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also recommended the gopis' method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as super excellent. Srila Sukadeva Goswami has also recommended that anyone who hears from the right source about the dealings of gopis with Krishna and who follows the instructions laid down by the previous acharyas will be elevated to the topmost position of devotional service and be able to take up the lust of and give up the lust of material enjoyment. So he's saying that six Goswamis that have mentioned this, Lord Chaitanya has recommended this. Then Sukadeva Goswami has recommended that anybody who hears from the right source about the dealings, then they can give up the material entanglement and material desire and come to that same transcendental platform. Right? But that's why you have to hear from the right source. As we see, is that how they're giving is something different, because you see, much of the time we take it to the externals. What's the external form that we can do to attain this? But actually, no. You follow the recommendation of the process that is given. That's there. And then these things will come from that. It's not, does that make sense? So the whole point is, but unless we hear from the right source, we won't understand that it's about the primary aspect, not the secondary. Right? Because sahaja is, it's all about the secondary. That's where it is. So that's the point. It's just hearing about the secondary, that's not enough. That won't get you there. It's hearing about the primary. And then what secondary aspects we can do. Does that make sense? Yes.
So it seems like, you know, Vaidhisadhana is a general process for all the sampradayas, Vaishnava
yes.
sampradayas. Then some practice Raghunuga, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then not until the Bhav Sadhana, then we get into all those specific details.
Yes. Yes. All these details are in Bhav Sadhana. That's all. Whether one is there in your surup or whether one is here through meditation, but the point is it's only on that platform. So only when one's liberated. That's why he's saying one is able to give up the lust of material enjoyment. So unless that's given up, then one can't. That's the meaning of what Rupa Goswami is talking about as anartha nivritti. This case, he's not talking about anartha nivritti, meaning between, that means that you've given up anishta bhajana kriya and come to nishta bhajana kriya. He's talking about you've given up anartha nivritti, means the desire to be the controller and enjoyer, and therefore you come to the platform of bhava. So it's slightly different. So that's the aspect, because rag means that you've given up the material desire. You don't have rag for material, you have rag for spiritual. So as long as the material is there, then the spiritual won't be there. It's like as long as your glass is full of ink, you can't fill it up with milk. So the ink has to be gone. Then you can put milk in the glass. Like that. So that's why we don't have to worry. We just have to know that's the goal so that we keep going. Does that make sense? You know, we may be on the, you know, first, second step, you know, 20 steps to get up to the door. So, but we know that the door is at the top of that 20 step. So, and that's where we want to get, so we keep walking. But we don't say, well, how do I practice opening the door and this and that? We don't have to do that. You have to get up the, you know, the 20 steps, then opening the door comes without need to practice. You know what I'm saying? So that's why he's saying, recommends anyone who hears from the right source about the dealings of gopis. Then we understand how the whole process, we understand all the things and how, you know, the whole yoga ladder, the whole process, the whole shraddha, the prema, all these different aspects. Then we're able to appreciate where we are and what's going on and what we should do. So just because it's the highest, that's fine. You know, it's just like, yes, okay, the kid wants to become a professor like his parents or other family members. But, you know, he starts off learning his ABCs. You know, and 1, 2, 3, 4, and 2 and 2 is 4. They start there. And then with time, if they just keep at it, yes, they'll be a professor. You know, so it's not that, well, what can I do to practice being a professor? You know, like that. You know, it doesn't work like that. That's why you have to hear from the right source. The wrong source is where they tell you things to do. The right source is where, no, there's nothing. You just have to do what is recommended for our practices. That's it. Okay. But because we're aware, then we keep going. Because if you're not aware, you've gone up 2 or 3 steps and you're higher than everybody else. So you might turn around and, you know, start to pontificate and tell everybody else who's not even on the steps and, you know, what's happening. Does that make sense? So that's why you keep your focus on that door and just keep going up. Does that make sense? You know, it's like that. I don't know. They still have it in the Bhagavad Gita. It used to be a picture of the steps.
Yeah. Yes.
It's still there? Okay. Yeah. You know, so Radha and Krishna at the top of the steps and Maya's down at the bottom. And, you know, some people are going up and some people are coming down. So that's... Oh, okay, we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.